Okay. I just want to welcome everybody, myself again from last night, from yesterday, from Gift of Christmas. Just thank God for your lives. A lot of new faces today, and just thank you for coming, and just pray that you'll be blessed again today as we share the word as we were yesterday. Yesterday was such a good day, and it was just so great to meet you, and wow, that you're back in church again today is really a wonderful thing, because the Lord wants to increase you on every front, all of us, because he's so good. But it was a marvelous day, and we just had incredible things going on from the picking up from the very beginning all the way through at the store at Kmart, and then coming back here, and just watching the progression of love and the release of love was just a super blessing for me personally. So I thank God for your lives. And I know that the Lord was moving so powerfully last night. Many of you had life-changing connections with the Lord, and that was very cool. And many of us were able to increase ourselves, or be increased that way as well, just connecting with you. And it was just so much fun to be part of what God's doing. So God bless you, and thank you again for just being who you are and saying yes to Jesus. And may this be an opportunity for you to just go into a new place in the Spirit that God has for you. You're welcome here, and we just thank you for saying yes to seeing what God will do. We just want to bless the Lord. So thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for everything that has been poured out. It's for your glory, Lord, that we're here. It's for your glory that we offer these opportunities, Lord, for Christmas outreach and different things that you have for us. And we just know that today is a day that you're going to do great and mighty and powerful things in our heart. We just believe for that. We thank you for that. We bless you for that, Lord. And Lord, may the words that are flowing this morning actually be words that will take us into the heart of hearts that you have for us in deeper ways. For you want us to be free. You want us to experience who we are in you and who you are. That's the heart you have for us, and that's what we celebrate today, your greatness and your goodness. For it's in your name, Lord, that we offer this heart before you and just ask for you to increase on every front. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ah, well, last week, we had an amazing message last night also. Pastor Bill gave an amazing message on hope. It was so powerful. The real living hope that God has, not just an idea of hope, but just actually the real living hope inside. And to me, it just tied in with the message from last week on what the Lord wants to do inside of each one of us, and how he's desiring our increase. Because he's not increasing. He is who he is. And the enemy would love us to try to agree with anything that would minimize him. Minimize how wonderful he is and how big he is. And that's not who we are, and that's not who we want to be. And so the Lord wants us to know that his love for us is so uncompromising, so huge, so incredibly tangible that we can experience him. We can feel him close. We can feel his resonating presence around us. He's watching us. He's listening to us. He's so pleased that we want to be in his presence, that we want to know him. He wants our words to be yes and amen for who he is. He doesn't want us to be short-sighted. He wants us to be fully engaged. I mean, what a good daddy that is. He wants us to actually say to him, okay, I need to know more of who you are, which means I need to experience you. That's what I need. And I'm willing to change. I'm willing to be like a little child. Look at them. And I'm willing to just see you as you really are. That's the desire of my heart. I want to see you as you are. I want to see you. And so this desire that he plants in our hearts for us to see him is really laid out beautifully in Matthew 15 and 16. And I encouraged you last Tuesday, Oxlow, to listen to the message if you weren't here. So I would say, for you folks, new folks, or folks who weren't able to be here last week, if you can do that, it will make today's message will make more sense, because you don't want to repeat a message once it's given. But there's a building, and just really felt from the Lord that he wanted to impart a little bit more to increase us, to be able to understand what he was saying, just to discover, what's Jesus doing and saying? What's he really like? He wants his presence to leak out of us. He wants his presence, as Bill Johnson said, he wants his presence to just come out in every way, and he gives us the tools to be able to navigate through what that will look like, because sometimes it doesn't. We're imperfect beings, but he wants us to navigate in a way that will allow his presence to just splash onto other people. And many times we don't do that. We step back and we take control of what we think will work for us. And the safe place in Jesus' arms of love, the safe place is really not the safe place for us. We call it that with our words sometimes, but it doesn't become that safe place. And, you know, God says, I want to do something about that for each one of you in this Christmas season, so that when you are celebrating me being the reason for the season, there's something behind that. Some of us are taking steps in for life changes, which are great. And God says, in those life-changing steps, I want you to have your eyes fully opened. I want your eyes to be open, I want your hearts to be pricked, to be so hungry for me that there will be changes all the way across the board, good changes. And so when we are changing in the presence of God, we are counting on him to be able to bring that change to pass, but yet he works with our cooperation. It's very hard to say sometimes, maybe, oh Lord, I want to go low. I want to just pour myself out. I want to be a drink offering for you. Sometimes that becomes harder and harder as the years go by, and the Lord's saying to us, I want that to be easier and easier as the years go by. And so this is a season that God is saying, let me show you how that can be and what that can look like. So I want to go through and highlight just a couple of things, just very briefly, of what we talked about last week, but not re-preaching the message. We had a glitch in our recording, and I just found out about that, so I'm really sorry, and I apologize to you again. Sometimes that happens, and you know, it's one of those things, like those, it's like, God, oh, we want to make things easy for people, so we're going to do whatever we can do to fix it, but it won't be fixed this week, possibly, I don't know. So the first 21 minutes, which do have a lot of announcements and things about things that were upcoming, so if you can bear with that, you're going to hear people's comments in the background. You're going to hear babies crying and things like that. And I sound a little as though I'm in a tunnel. But, you know, I'm asking that you would bear with that, because at 21 plus minutes, everything changed, and that there was a change in the recording. So things happen. We make mistakes, and it's okay. But I'm just imploring you that if you do have time to listen to that, it would be good, so that you can piece these messages together, because I think they're weighty. I believe that God's showing us some things. So if you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15 and chapter 16, that would be really great. Yeah. I love these chapters because the Lord is absolutely sure that he wants us to understand very much about his nature, very much about his character, very much about who he is, as he also wants us to know who we are. And as I briefly mentioned last week, when we think about who we are or what our identity is or who we really are seen by God as being, which is for all of you who are visiting or who are coming after gift of Christmas, that might be a new concept for you. But God is saying, I look at you a certain way. I see you through my eyes, and I want you to see me through your eyes. In that process, I want you to see me also, not just who you are through my eyes for you, but I want you to see me. I want you to see what I'm really like. And Jesus is actually the same as the Father. He is sent to earth as a man, and he took on the form of a man, and he laid his life down. Nobody took his life, but he laid his life down, and he was sacrificed so that we could actually get to know what the Father was like. And while Jesus did this, or as he did this, and he died on the cross, he was also doing something for us to be able to know the Father, which meant that the power of the devil had to be killed for us to be able to have that relationship with the Father. And many of you discovered that last night or deepened that understanding and that revelation. And then Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, And he said, oh, this is already finished. He said that at the cross, but it's finished. It's been accomplished. It's absolutely a solid deal. I am the firstborn among many brethren, which means that as a man, he came back to life and he was resurrected from the dead, fully God, fully man, but he sacrificed himself as a man so that he could do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He paid the price for our sin, for our sickness, for our healings that we would want to have, for everything. Any kind of negative, if you will, that doesn't exist in heaven, there's nothing negative in heaven, he said, I'm going to take everything away from you. I'm going to become as you are. I'm not just going to take your sin upon me, but I'm going to become as you are. And you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, my Father. So I'm going to take that upon myself. And so I'm going to become you. Can you imagine? All the sin, all of the slapping in the face of the Father from the foundation of the world, Jesus became. That's incredible. And I want to spend the rest of my life understanding the depth of that, understanding how big a deal that is. So it's important to me, and I believe to all of us, to say, God, I want to discover you. I want to discover what you have to say in your word. I want to discover what you're really like more and more. So as we read the word of God and apply it to our life, not just read it, but apply it, there are going to be significant increases in us. We'll become more like Jesus. And Jesus is truth. He's not just saying, seek the truth. He's saying, seek me, and I am the truth. Okay? When we seek after the truth, we're seeking after him. And when we seek after him, he will lead us into the truth. Our eyes will open, and he'll show us the way. And we'll be able to walk through and navigate through this very challenging life at times, right? And we'll be able to say, wow, Jesus, you're walking with me through this. And in him, there's no confusion. In him, there's no pain. In him, there's no heartache. In him, there's no distress. In him, there's no judgment. In him, there's no criticism. In him, there's no negativity. There's nothing. There's no rejection. There's nothing in him. So he wants us to just run into his arms, discover him, not just what he thinks about us, which is very important, but we need to discover what he says about that and what he says we need to do. What he says, how he says, and what he says about us actually walking through this life. Because he's always wanting to keep us safe. He loves us so much that he says, I don't want your future to be messed up. I don't want your tomorrow to be destroyed. I don't want you to step in a hole and not see the darkness around you. I don't want that for you. I want to be able to provide for you a way of escape from that. I did it at the cross. I did it in the resurrection. And now I want to help you so that you can walk it out. And so he tells us in the Psalms that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. He sets us free. He has a way of escape. And in wisdom, if we say, Lord, what's your way of escape? On the same token, at the same time, he says, embrace persecution, embrace suffering. Jesus was persecuted for being righteous. And there's suffering that comes through taking a righteous stand. But he wants us to know the difference between a righteous stand and absolutely saying something or doing something that will get us in hot water. So he's trying to show us the difference, and he uses Peter, and he uses the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and also the people, and just the throngs of people in chapters 15 and 16 of Matthew. He uses them to show us, or he's not using people, but he's demonstrating for us what it's like for the people. And he's very clear. So it's like, Lord, I want to see myself, because I'm trying to understand not just how you see me as being complete, which you do, but I want to see how you minister to the people, all of the people. What are you like? That's what I want to be like. In my imperfections, thank you. I want to lay down, and I want to go lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And that doesn't mean I go down as a low grub worm. I go down and say, God, you are who you are. I'm not. I need your eyes. I need to change. I need that. But I know that you're going to be the one that provides that way. So I don't walk around with an anchor around my neck thinking, yeah, I got to change. I'm no good. No, it's, we have a new heart when we come to the Lord Jesus. The heart is deceitful above all else, for sure. The Lord tells us that in the scripture. So he gives us a new heart, and he says, in that place, I will allow you, with that new heart from me, that new spiritual heart, to be able to take those areas that maybe haven't matched up with that heart, that new spiritual heart, and I will allow you to walk through what it will take for your heart on every front to match mine. And I like that. I believe God wants that for each one of us. So in Matthew chapter 15, he talks, if you can turn in your Bibles, I think some of you have. Excuse me. If we can put that up in the NASB, that would be good. This is new in American Standard. Excuse me. Matthew 15 and 16, we're going to kind of hop around. And in between that, I want you to see a picture. I don't know, Shell, did we get that picture up? Was it able to get up? Yeah. It is? Okay, in between, we're going to be looking at something we want you to see. And it's a picture of the brilliance and the magnitude of God and what Jesus has done for us. In fact, I think that's probably good. Let's just show you this. I want you to feast your eyes on this. I want you to see what God is saying about what he's done for us and how he wants us to live. Can you see it? I don't know if it's... Can you make it bigger? Or? I don't know. But there's a picture of an eagle saying, excuse me, on top of a snake, just saying, this is who Jesus is. He is, this is not just American Eagle, but he is this absolutely powerful creature in this particular picture that's just saying, you think you have any weight? You don't. And I'm going to take you down and take you out. And that's what Jesus did at the cross and the resurrection. And he says, but I want you to live that way victoriously in your life, in your relationships, in every part of your world. That's what I want to see. And it doesn't mean you won't have troubles, but I'm going to show you the way to overcome those troubles because I've overcome the world and I want to overcome inside of you. And so I love that. So now we can go back. Look at that. Oh my gosh. I don't think there's any fear in that eagle, right? That eagle is bright. That eagle is penetrating. That eagle is strong. That eagle is truth. Mm-hmm. And that snake is something that's raising up out of the water, raising his ugly head, and the Lord says it's time for the snakes to die. And so the snake that he killed when he was at the cross and through the resurrection as well, he said, I destroyed your power, devil, and I don't want my people to live with that power at all. Coming against them where it takes them down. I want them to be the head and not the tail. So God is very clear about how to go about doing that. And he says the way to do that is through death. Because I've already died and I'm calling you to do that. So I spoke last week a lot. As I said, if you could listen to last week's message, barring the 21 minutes, I spoke a lot about what it was like. God laid it out for us in Matthew about what it was like when we are ingesting ideas and thoughts in our own heart and mind, and what happens when they come out in our attitudes, actions, and words. It's very poignant. I believe it'll be poignant for you to listen to it. I don't want to spend time with that now. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. It does say in Proverbs 18, 19, 20, and 21, particularly in 21, and those who eat of it, those who love it will eat of it. And so we want to make sure that what comes out of our mouth is actually something that's life-giving and life-receiving, because if we are loving those words, even maybe with distress in our attitudes or actions in some ways, if we're loving those words and God knows our hearts, then we're eating of that, and it's increasing, and it will exponentially increase. It has to. And the Lord says that's not good. And so I want to show you what that's like. So in 15 and 16, when Jesus... Well, actually, I think what I'm going to do here is take you right to the end of 16 and then back it up. A little bit different. When Jesus foretold his death in verse 21, he was speaking to Peter, and he was very strong. And he said, get behind me, Satan, because Peter came against him. And he said, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Which is really interesting, because the verse before that, in verse 22, if you can see that, in verse 22, Peter had taken Jesus aside, and he began to rebuke him. And I see that word rebuke in here, and the Spirit of God inside of Jesus rose up against the snake that was influencing Peter. And he rose up against that snake and said, stop it, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, because it's him. He says, I rebuke you. And I honestly hadn't really concentrated on those words. I saw them last week and went, wow, Jesus, that Peter actually rebuked him? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him? Can you imagine? That's strong language. Peter rebuked Jesus? Interesting. And he's saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus took it as a rebuke because he rose up against the Spirit of God. That's really strong language. It's like, wait a minute here. If I'm not agreeing with what Jesus is saying and doing, and I'm saying, I don't think so. If it's the Spirit of God moving in somebody else, and it really is God, then they're being rebuked, and the Lord is being rebuked. So all of our battles are really against the Lord, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. And sometimes we can only see the people in front of us. But God is saying, I want you to know each other by the Spirit. And I want you to know what I'm saying to you by the Spirit. And so Jesus' very strong words to Peter are life-giving to us. They should cause us to tremble that when we rise up, knowingly or unknowingly, against what the Spirit of God is saying or doing, we're actually standing in the place of rebuking God. That scares me in a good way. It's like, whoa, I never thought of it that way. And so when we are called by the Lord to repent, we're called by the Lord to say, God, what was I thinking? What was I doing? That was against you when I was speaking. I thought it was my feeling, my opinion, but it's really against you. Peter loved Jesus. He loved him so much. And he was trying to protect him, trying to do something good, he thought. But because Jesus is so Jesus and mature, and he actually had to put him in his place, and he spoke to that spirit, and he said, get behind me, Satan. He recognized the spirit. Jesus recognized who was speaking, even though Peter was probably very sweet and kind and well-meaning. Come on, best friend. And it's like, I don't think so, because he was rebuking the Spirit of God. Very important. And to me, that word right there is life-changing for how important it is to become so close to the Father that we're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying on the inside and being willing to change, being willing to say, I don't want to be in that position that you view me as rebuking you. And do you know, when we know what our identity is in Christ, we know what that is, and we say, and we know, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. I'm so loved, I'm so favored, I'm so this and I'm so that. That's so good. And God says, please, continue to remember that, but I'm going to rebuke you if you are, or correct you, if you are saying or doing or speaking something because I love you so much. There's a reason for it. It's not Jesus being Jesus. I'm Jesus, so back off, dude. You know, very, very significant. So I wanted to point that out as something that is a highlight that in verse 22, excuse me, when Jesus in 23 then turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan, he spoke to the Spirit, and he says, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests but man's. So what he was doing was saying, you think you're doing a good thing, but you're not. You're going the wrong direction. And I've tried to get your attention through many passages in 15 and 16, and I would say things to you that are really strong. I would say, aren't you getting this yet, Peter? Don't you understand? Don't you see? And the reason was he wanted him to not so partner with the enemy because it would mount, because Peter would say things and that would mount, as I was telling you earlier in the chapter, in chapter 15, again, listen to the message, that Peter would continue to say things and not realize that he had been coming against the Lord the entire time by not agreeing, by not seeing. Yeah, but Jesus is really gentle with us. That's kind of strong, because he knew the weight of what he was doing. He was saying, this is important. You have got to change. And I'm going to get your attention now. And now I have to rebuke a spirit. How about that? Wow. Because Peter had partnered with something. Apparently so. And it wasn't, God's interest, but man's. Now, discipleship is costly. Verse 24 at the end, Jesus says, right after that, he says to his disciples, now this is after talking about feeding the 5,000, then feeding the 4,000, feeding or healing people, delivering people, loving people, spending time with people all through 15 and 16. Just amazing capturing of the heart of Jesus. Everywhere he went, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was healing. He was just so full of Holy Spirit, so full, ready to go to the cross, and he knew what was coming, and he knew that he was going to have to lay his life down, and he did that because he loved us so much. That's what love was looking like, and he didn't want Peter to miss it. And he knew that if Peter was not challenged right there, that there would be something much more disastrous for him. He knew that. But he had tried to get his attention prior to that. So Jesus says in 24, show 24 up there, Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, this is right after a rebuke, he must deny himself. That means he must say, self, whatever I was feeling, whatever I was thinking, whatever that looks like, I'm going to deny self, S-E-L-F, what I think, what I feel, what I have stood on, what I have not wavered from, we think, or whatever it would be, I am going to say, by the word of the Lord, I'm going to deny myself, what myself has thought, what myself has felt, what myself has opinionated. And so I'm going to deny myself, take up Jesus' cross, and follow him. He says, take up his cross and follow me, which means die. The cross means death. So when we take up the cross, we're taking up the death of Jesus. He said, you say that you died with me. You say that you rose with me. You rose with me. And that's true. But you need to be doing that. And I'm going to tell you right in the face of what I just said to Peter. You're going to need to take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself if you want to be one of my followers that will see the fullness of my kingdom come. And so when he said that, it's like, wow, I have to die. I have to follow. I want to follow him as I die. But this is the restriction here. For whoever wishes to save his life, in other words, always be right and not willing to deny himself, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In other words, he's saying, he's giving the message that we hear preached in many different places. We need to go low. We need to humble ourselves. What's the opposite of humility? Just saying, ooh, that stinks to Jesus. He's saying, humble yourself, and that's the only way you're going to find yourself. And that's the only way that you will be able to walk out all the prophetic words that are spoken over you, or all the feelings or thinkings that you have. The Lord says these are all conditional, and conditional upon these things coming to pass. But you can actually interrupt what I have planned for you, in the sense that you don't agree with what I'm saying, and the snake gets to rise instead of the eagle. Don't do that. I love you so much. I'm trying to help you. Please receive my help. And Peter was, I don't know what his reaction was. Can you imagine hearing that? It's like, well, I like to know what led up to that. Because Peter was just his buddy. You know, Peter, James, and John, they were threesome around him. But Peter, Jesus had to say something because he knew what was coming, and he knew that Peter would be crucified upside down. He knew that Peter would get it, but he hadn't gotten it yet. It's very significant. So he goes into this oratory, this oration, where he's saying, deny yourself. And that doesn't mean just, well, I won't eat pie or cake during Christmas because I want to get closer to God. I'm not, seriously, if that's the way that you feel God is saying that that's part of denying, I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm saying, don't stop there. I'm saying, let's present ourselves completely to the Lord and say, here I am. It appears to be, this is the direction we're going, but it appears to be that you might have a different way, and I'm ready to stop, and I'm ready to reverse. And that's what he's asking from us. I want to reverse, and I want to receive everything you have to say. Now, having said that, wow. Verse 26 says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul, his mind, his will, his emotions? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul, his mind, his thinking, his opinions, his emotions? The Lord's very clear here. He says, you know, you may be born again, but do you want to live half of the life that I've called you to live? I'm really smart. I know what I'm doing. I'm the master relational connector. I'm the master financier. I'm the master businessman or woman. He's not a woman, but you know, I'm the master pastor. I'm the master leader. Okay? I am the master everything. And he's saying, who will go lower? Who will go low with me? Who will allow themselves to take up their cross? And he says daily. He doesn't say once, he says daily. It's like, what? This is amazing. He's saying, it's time, church. It's like to get this and then desire this, because if this becomes a daily desire, we can only increase, because he will answer us. He will show us, you know what, you may think you're denying, but you're not. You may think you're taking up my cross, but you're not. And because I want you to see that that is just as important as you knowing who you are and who I say you are in Christ. If you do not have both together, you'll be missing something. And let me show you what you're missing. So let's back up in chapter 16, and I'll give you a little bit more here. In verse 6, chapter 16, verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Well, he was saying to his followers, to his disciples, he was saying, guys, just be careful. There'll be other thoughts that will come, that will rise up against who you really are. And you might think it's true, but it may not be the truth. It may be what you feel, but it may not be the truth. Beware. And so he was saying to Peter, James, and John, and the other people, beware of wrong thinking, of wrong teaching. Beware of that, because there's leaven, and when you are, leaven is yeast, like yeast, and leaven will spread, it will increase. And if it spreads and increases, oh my goodness, it will get worse and actually will start to cloud situations. So what you see, what you think, what you feel will be affected by that. You have to beware. So if he's warning them through those words, he's saying, kids, I'm warning you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware, because the leaven of the Pharisees is so strong that it will try to suck out the very life of the supernatural end of heaven, supernatural living. It will do that because it's intended to. So there were lots of places in 15 and 16, and I implore you to read it yourself, where the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the religious people of the day, okay, where Peter actually became like them for a moment. I hope he wasn't like that all the time. But for Jesus to rebuke and say, get behind me, Satan, something had to affect him. If it was the people around him, I don't know. But nonetheless, he was warning Peter. He was saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees for yourself and for the people around you. You're my leaders, people. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He says, you're the leaders here, guys. I'm going to take off and go. I'm going to die and raise from the dead. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I'm going to put you in charge. So you cannot be walking in the direction that they are. You cannot understand. You can't link with that in your thinking, because it will grow. If you believe, agree with any leaven that's increasing, it will affect you and your family and everything else in your life. He's telling them this. So just as, and there's many different ways in which he says it, actually in 14, 15, and 16, and you read that and look for it. Look for it. Okay, then he says, in verse 8, he says, because Jesus was aware of the fact that they didn't get it, he said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? When I'm really talking to you about, be careful, my kids. Be careful, my brothers. Be careful. That's what I'm really trying to say to you. While you realize how special you are to me, be wise. Be careful. It's not about, do we have enough bread to feed the 4,000 that are there that just came to hang out with Jesus on the hillside after he had fed the 5,000. He says, I'll do it again and show you how multiplication works. Didn't get it the first time, but I'm going to show you the second time. And it's not just feeding them physically, it's feeding them spiritually. And I want to show you how things will increase, how this leaven will be killed, because you will recognize it and not be part of it and say, no, You see? So Jesus just didn't feed people physically, even though he didn't want them to faint and fall over, which he says in scripture here, because they were with him 3 days, talking and listening to everything he was doing, and he was healing them. The scripture says, and I mentioned it last week, that he was releasing healing to everybody. Everybody who came, healed, 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 healed. And it started out with a Syrophoenician woman coming and saying, prior to that, saying, I've got this girl who's got demons. Well, if she knew that, I guess there was some kind of showing of it. And so Jesus allowed her to press into him to say, listen, I need you. There's a demand I'm putting on you because I know who you say you are, and I need help from you. I'm pressing in. I'm pressing in. And then he said, you have great faith. I'm marveling at your faith. That's amazing to me. And then he healed and delivered this girl, which was amazing. Let me find that for you here. I think I have it here in the message. Let me find it. He says, this is in the Message Bible, he says, Jesus gave in, he said, and this is in verse 28, actually, if you want to pull that up, in chapter 15, he says, oh woman, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. Right then her daughter became well. Isn't that amazing? Because he had her wait. He didn't immediately answer her, but he was going to because he saw this. It's like, wow. And then after that, then he came. All these people came. The 4,000 that were fed also were healed and set free, which was incredible. Incredible. So Jesus said tons of them in verses 29 through 31. That's the Message Bible. He said, I want you to see that these people need me and that they love me. And that he says in verse 31 that they were astonished and they let everyone know that God was blazingly alive among them. And so after Jesus had received these people, he brought paralytic, the blind, the maimed, the mute, all sorts of people in need, more or less threw them down at Jesus' feet. These are the disciples doing this of the hurting people to see what he would do with them. He healed them. When the people saw the mute speaking, the maimed healthy, the paraplegics walking around, the blind looking around, they were astonished and let everyone know that God was blazingly alive among them. And then Jesus says, I'm not finished with these people. I hurt for them. There was so much compassion in Jesus when he saw what was going on. Compassion for everybody. Compassion for those who were hurting physically. Compassion for those who didn't know who he was yet. He hurts for people because that's why he warns us. He hurts for us. And he says, I don't want you to miss who you really are in fullness so that you can minister as I did and you can help people out fully and you're not making excuses and you're not bound by something that will stifle and that you will be increased in every way. So I love the fact that he's so compassionate for the hurting people, which would be any of us who are not walking with that heavenly understanding. So when Jesus then spoke to the disciples and he told them, listen, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what can stop all this. It can be wrong thinking, wrong opinions. It can stop that. I will not be stopped, but you will be. You will be stopped. And I don't want that for you because I am truth and I will keep moving and my spirit is great. But I don't want you to partner with anything that would be hindering in any way, only what's helpful. And so, when Peter, let's back it up a little bit in chapter 16, in verse 11, he says, how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? In verse 12, he says, "Then they understood that he did not say, 'Beware of the leaven of the bread,' but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And so he had already spoken and said, "Okay, I've given you some warnings. I would like you to really pay attention to them. You understand it. Now put it into practice." We can have an understanding ourselves of something, but refuse to put it into practice. He's saying, "I want you to put things into practice. I want you to walk your talk. You say you're dead, act like it." Because if we're really dead, we will really allow his examining heart to meet ours. And then we change. And then he changes us. He's the one. He brings the change, but he allows that to happen. And I just think that's to me, that's really exciting. Wow. Peter confessed Christ in chapter 16, verse 13. Let's take a look at that. Before I do that, let me read one thing in the Amplified that is kind of hard, but it's good. It's in verse 16, and it's actually still in chapter 15, so let me just jump back there just to read something. 15:16, if we could. It just really is touching. Jesus says in the NASB, "Are you still lacking in understanding?" Okay, that was the way in my Bible it says. But in the Amplified it says, "Are you also even yet dull and ignorant, without understanding and unable to put things together?" Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. I believe that was a word from the Lord to stir Peter up, that he would say, "Wow, my master spoke that to me. My master said, 'Are you still dull?' In other words, you've been with me. I've demonstrated the miracle of the 5,000 and many other things, and you're still not getting, when I open my mouth and I speak to you, you don't know me by the Spirit, Peter, at that moment. You're still relying on yourself." So that's why when he finally got to, "I rebuke you," or "Get behind me, Satan," there had been some history, and I probably a whole lot more. So Peter's confession of Christ, now we're jumping into chapter 16 again. Okay? And I love this because this shows the heart of Jesus so beautifully. He says, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And this is verse 13. "And they answer him, 'Well, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say I am?' And then Simon Peter answered, 'You're the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Now listen to Jesus' response. Love this. Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Which means, you know what, Peter? I know you by the Spirit right here. And I know that you say you love me, but right now you're speaking the truth. You're speaking the truth, and I revealed, my Father in heaven revealed that to you. You could only say that by the Spirit. That's great. But yet just a few verses before, he calls him dull, or says he's dull and ignorant, because there was a side of him that was. And he's saying, "I want to change that in you." And then he says to him, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "will not overpower it." Now, listen to this. He builds him up. This is the great build-up from Jesus to Peter. And yet he still had to rebuke him, okay? Because he loves him. So it's a process, but this is the great build-up. And this is what he thinks of us. But he says, "I also want you to hear what I have to say in other areas." So they're both together. So he says these wonderful words. He says, "I will say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it," which I read. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Okay, I'm going to read to you in a moment a couple other versions of that to really get that in our heart, because that's the good news here also. But in verse 21, he says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up in the third day." Okay, so Jesus took a step with Peter and the boys, and he said, "All right, Father revealed this to you." He's always trying. And he knows that Peter's going to deny him or he's going to need correction, but he's always attempting. He's making an attempt with them. Isn't that our heart? Isn't that what God does for us? But isn't that what we can do for others? But at the same time, not tolerating something that's not the Lord? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't agree. And don't pattern your life after the leaven of the Pharisees. But if we cannot see that, then we will take the leaven of the Pharisees and become like that more and more. There may even be a hook in our own heart that will embrace the leaven of the Pharisees. And God said, "Peter, please, don't do that, son and brother. Don't do that. Beware. Because I love you. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom." So that's the good side. And many times we stay there, which is a good place to be because we want to worship the Lord because of that. But in the midst of that, when we're worshiping the Lord, knowing that he's saying, "Oh, worship me in spirit and in truth. Let everything be for my glory, for my kingdom. But let me show you so that you can go farther, higher, faster than anybody before you." So you don't lose a step. You don't miss a step. You don't miss a heartbeat. When Peter was going to be crucified upside down, that was the greatest joy he could possibly have. I don't think that's something we embrace necessarily. Say, "Well, I can't wait for that to happen." But at the same time, Peter was put in that position where he was able to endure everything that was coming. And Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knows what's coming in your life. Jesus knows what's coming next week, tomorrow. He knows what's coming next year. And he's wanting to release heaven to earth. He's wanting to release the kingdom of heaven to earth. Jesus embraced the kingdom and he said, "And I give you the keys. I give you those keys." But it may not always look as pretty as you want, because there are things that you may have to also endure as you're saying, "Yes, Jesus, I glorify you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus." There are people in Egypt who are being crucified for their faith. That's not happening in America. Maybe it is emotionally and spiritually, but it's not physically. God is saying, "Stand up." Amen. Stand up. Yeah. And realize who I am and what I say you are, but what I've done for you, and because of what I've done for you, not just because of who you are, be grateful, but because of what I've done for you and who I am, stand up and change and allow me to do that changing. And that's exciting to me, because I know God will back us up. So let me read to you from these two versions how he put that in Matthew 16. If you have it in your cell phone, you can look it up. Matthew 16, 18. Let me read it for you. I printed these off so I could find it easily for you. And let me do that. Well, I'm getting there. Okay. Matthew 16. I love this. Simon, this is the Amplified, and Simon Peter. When he replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus answered him, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, men, have not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Petros, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church," with that kind of heart, that kind of faith. "And the gates of Hades, the power of hell, the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Wow. "And whatever you declare to be improper and unlawful," which is binding, Whatever you bind or declare to be proper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. And that's going to be truth. Truth according to what Jesus says. Then he sternly and strictly charged and warned the disciples, tell no one that he was Jesus, that he was the Christ. Wow. Before I go to the message, let me, well, since I have it here, when Jesus turned away from Peter, Peter had gone after him. He said, get behind me, Satan. You are in my way. You are an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me, for you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. Wow. Then Jesus said, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests. That sounds a little different than some things that we read. And take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living. And if need be, in dying also. I just think that's pretty intense. It's preparing my heart more for Christmas, for the celebration of what Jesus is doing, has done for us. And let me finish with this in chapter 16 also in the message. Let's take a look at it in a little bit more modern language for us, okay? So good. When Simon Peter answered who Jesus was, he said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. Is that cool? Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you who you really are, but I'm also showing you and telling you who I really am. There you go. Two parts. The gospel of the kingdom is twofold. This is who I am, and I'm going to tell you and show you through me. You will know people by the Spirit, and I'm going to tell you who you really are. Now, when these two start matching up, now you're tracking with me. Very powerful. Let me read it here. It says, Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon. Sorry. Just lost my place here. I have to find that. Oh, here it is. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it all. And listen to this. I love this. It's like an extra present. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. Wow. Yeah. That's powerful. Free access. Come on. We are so blessed. But the Lord wants us to know who he is, why he is who he is, why he's done what he's done, who he wants to be with us. He's saying some of us might be not thinking completely right. Well, we're human, true. And I know that God is saying, that's something I just want to have you say to me, that maybe my thinking needs to be changed, and I will allow that to be changed. That's what he's trying to do, is warn here in a good way. So as we go through this season right now, he's saying, submit yourself to me. Resist the snake, and what? He will flee. And that's what God is saying. There's no time for anything. There's no confusion in the kingdom. So let's bring our hearts together. Let's close in worship here. And if there's anything that God has spoken to your own hearts, this is just a preparatory time, because we don't want to lose sight of how special we are to him. He says, let me tell you how special you are. Wow. When the Holy Spirit moves, come on, worship team, we can come up and just lead us in a closing worship time so that we can allow the Lord to bring that freedom so that we can know who we are. He wants us to know how special we are. We are so special. We have the keys of the kingdom being given to us. Can you imagine? That's the kind of Jesus we have. We want to run away if there's any leaven of the Pharisees in any way, in us, around us, at anywhere. And the point is, he wants us to be aware. Be aware, but be so keyed in on who he is that he will be able to show us those things more and more, because he had a big plan for Peter and he didn't want him to miss it. He has a big plan for you and I, and he wants us to get it. And he's very long-suffering, and he's very gentle and kind, but also he's very direct. So he's gentle and kind in his directness, because he's saying, it's time. So this can help us as we gently go through the holidays with people in our life. Yeah. Let the Holy Spirit provoke us to love. Provoke us to love. Provoke us to love. But we're seeing here what love looks like. Jesus is 100% love. And here's a scenario with Jesus and Peter and disciples and people. And Jesus' compassion rose. I believe that when he spoke with Peter, he was so compassionate, because he thought, this is my Peter. I don't want him to miss anything that I have, because he is receiving the keys of the kingdom. He has full access to me. That's how I've designed him, and I don't want him to miss it. For all our new friends from yesterday, from Gift of Christmas, oh my goodness, you are so special in the kingdom of God, so special. The Lord is not going like this, looking at you like this. There are snakes around that are, but not the Lord. He's saying, come here, stay close, come in close to me so that I can shuffle away all that stuff, if there's any stuff. For any of us who have been part of Frontline and this isn't your first visit, he's saying, come here, I love you so much. I'm not going like this, but I'm saying humility at all cost is what I'm calling you for, so that you can have eyes to see what I'm saying of how big a call on your life I've given. The call that I have for you is huge. The call that I have for you is daring. It involves risk-taking. It's amazing. It's something that will stir you so much. Stir you out of complacency if you're there in any way. Stirs me when I give it. Because it's like, Lord, all I want is more of you. And I want it to be seen. I want it to be felt. I want it to be understood. And the Lord is saying, that's who you are. When we bless the name of the Lord, do you know that these things will start to come up? And then he'll deal with them. We don't focus on that. Okay? But we allow the Lord to show us so that we can focus on him more. That's his heart. Focus on me more. That's all he's saying. So we want to worship the Lord and focus on him. Not close off to anything, but focus on him. And then he will show us if we have eyes to see and eyes to hear. As we go low and say, this is who you are. As we celebrate Jesus this next few weeks in a new way. Read your Bible. Read about his greatness. Read about what he did leading up to the cross and after. Read about that. Get in the Word of God. Start declaring and decreeing and joying over him. Spend time with your family and friends. That's great. But take that time as a worshiper. Worship him. Worship him. In the morning, noon, and night, our acts, our lives are worship. Let's worship him now. He's so worth it. He's so worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy that our mouth would change, that our hearts would change. He's worthy that our lives would be laid down. He's worthy in every way. That's our God. Let's worship him because he's worthy of it. He's so worthy. And watch God. Just present yourself fresh and new every day. Here I am. I deny myself. I take up my cross and I follow you so I can be that fisher of men. Let's praise him as we leave today. Let's just praise him with a smile on our face, with a song in our hearts. He's worthy of purity. He's worthy of our life of holiness. He's worthy. He's calling us to say, I need more of you. I need you. I need to focus on your life. Focus on your heart. Focus on you, Lord. Let's worship him. Let's sing out and worship. worship Him. Worship Him in everything we say and do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him. Come on. You're worth it, Lord. And lay myself down before You because of You. Thank you, Holy One. Yes, Lord. You're free to go, and when you're finished worshiping, free to be blessed and go.
I'm alive, I'm alive, when You breathe on me.